godliness, we will not be able to secure destiny. And without godliness, we will not to be able to secure eternity. So that means it's a worthy fight. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 to 12, it says, "But thou, O man or woman of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Then it says, anything outside of this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That everyone is engaged is not license for you. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Timothy, everyone is saying it is the normal thing. Everyone is saying it is the right thing. But that everyone is engaged is not license for you, Timothy. So you need to fight. And this fight is not going to be an easy fight. It is the fiercest of all spiritual battles that every believer should engage in. It is the fiercest. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4. "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving unto sin. That's the last one I want to, verse 4 is what I want you to underline. What does that mean? Until we are fought, until blood starts coming out, we have not tried. Well, in other words, when it comes to sin, until we are fought, until blood starts coming out, it says we have not tried. The only time we are allowed to be violent is when we engage in a spiritual war. When we engage in spiritual war, it says, and when we engage in spiritual war, even when blood comes out of our bodies, it says, then we are. It is a sign that we hate sin. Because this war is against spiritual strongholds. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil, of the devil." It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our fight is against invisible forces. Not only are they invisible, the worst part of it is that it is against heavy wickedness. Heavy wickedness. He said it's against heavy wickedness. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And I was making an illustration to them at the covenant hour of prayer. I said, how many understand what dart is? Now, let me ask you the same question. How many know what dart is here? Dart, those who play darts are those who are focused. They don't miss. Those who play darts are very focused. They are professional and they do it with all accuracy. So they get to the point, or everyone is targeting the middle, which makes you the champion. And it's the same thing with the devil. The devil does not miss when he has targeted you. He doesn't miss. He says there is a fiery dart of the devil. And now the devil's dart is fiery. Is not, it goes 3 times or 100 times faster than the darts that you are shooting, than the normal dart. The devil's dart is fiery. And so he says, what can we do against that one? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight anything that will bring you to sin. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now remember, they are invisible, and if they are invisible, then it will be difficult to fight them except we identify them. You can't fight what you can't see. Until you identify them, then you are not able to fight against them. You can't fight the invisible. And that's why it is expedient for us to identify what we are fighting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, he said in verses 9 to 10, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, you may not understand until we put it in understandable scriptures, NIV. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then verses 9 to 10. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They refuse to love the truth. If you hate the truth, you will love sin. I mean, understand where God is going. If you hate the truth, it means you will love the lie, and lie is sin. Everyone that hates the truth will love the lie. That means everyone that hates the truth will love sin. So, how do we identify evil spirits behind sin? That is what we call evil spirits that are behind sin. Once you identify the evil spirit, it's a pointer to the sin. So it's better we first of all identify evil spirits that are behind sin. And the first one we are taking a look at tonight are unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. And I had a better understanding of unclean spirits. Many of us think what unclean spirits are. But let's take a look at unclean spirits. Anything that is not clean is unclean. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The enemy can put a filthy garment on anyone. If he can put a filthy garment on Joshua, he can put a filthy garment on anyone. Glory to God. If he can put an unclean garment on Joshua, it means he can put an unclean garment on anyone. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. And let's take a look at it quickly. He said, now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. That's a priest. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And what happened? And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments before him, from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused an iniquity to pass from thee. And unto him he said, behold, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair matter upon his head. So they set a fair matter upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The filthy garments made him unclean. Filthy garments made him unclean. That's why scripture says, he says there is no temptation. He says, wherefore to him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he falls. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. There is no superman or superwoman when it comes to unclean spirits. He said, and the unclean spirit, that means if he puts an unclean spirit on you, it means that you cannot fit see the face of God. Because God cannot behold unclean. If, as a matter of fact, if you go to Bible history, it says the woman that was with the woman with the issue of blood, they segregated them from the people. Why? Because they regarded them as unclean. So every time they are coming, there is a bell that they are tied to them that rings unclean, unclean, unclean. Get away from this one, because if they unclean, we make you unclean. And if you are unclean, God does not want to see your face. So they are unclean. In other words, every unclean God does not want to behold. Psalm 27, verses 8 to 9. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Then he said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He say, in other words, David was simply saying, he hides his face from sinners. I don't want to be part of it. Job said in Job chapter 34, verses 21 to 29, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Workers of iniquity have no hiding place. And then he said, for he will not lay upon man nor more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number and set others in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him and will not consider any of his ways, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted when he giveth quietness. Who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Wherefore it be done against a nation or against a man. In other words, an unclean spirit is dangerous. An unclean spirit God does not want to see. An unclean spirit God does not want to behold. He says, when he giveth quietness, who can make trouble? And then when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Uncleanliness makes God to stay away from us. They hold a degree in messing people up. Uncleanliness have a degree in messing people up. Matthew 12, 43 to 45, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth not. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Unclean spirits have a way of messing your body, your spirit, and your life up. Because what happens, it takes more spirits, and then they dwell in that body or in that spirit, and then unclean spirits takes seven, and then they mess that person up. From now, everything unclean in your life shall be cleaned up. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Number two, evil spirits behind sin, seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. Every time you hear seducing spirits, you are thinking of women or men. I have a better understanding. Seducing spirits also come with doctrines of evil. Seducing spirits is not only about women and men who seduce the opposite sex. Seducing spirits actually have to do with doctrines of the devil. What am I talking about? Now, seducing spirit does not just talk about women seducing women. I looked into the dictionary and I said, what does seduce mean? The seduce in the dictionary, number one says, to lead astray, as from duty, rectitude, or the like. In other words, it also says to corrupt. It also says to lead or draw away as from principles, faith, or allegiance. Seducing also means to win over, attract, entice. What does that mean? You can seduce people into believing the wrong thing. How many understand where God is going? You can seduce people into believing the wrong thing. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 2. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits, giving heed to doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a wrought iron. In other words, they don't care about the things of God anymore. They only talk about the things that benefit them, taking away the people from the faith. Seducing spirits is not about male and female. Seducing spirits is about doctrines. Doctrines that does not have nothing to do with scriptures. And people believe it and then they run out of it. Look at CEB translation. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some people will turn away from the faith. How? Why? They will pay attention to spirits that deceive and to the teachings of demons. CEB. Now, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. DRA. Now, the Spirit manifestly saith that in the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to spirits of error and doctrines of devils. There are those who lure men from the teaching of the truth. Their teachings point people to the way of error. And the people believe it. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. He said, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Wherever you find yourself, please listen to me, people of God, have a mind that has its foundation in the truth. Wherever you find yourself, have a mind that has its foundation in the truth. Otherwise, you will be driven about anyhow with any form of doctrine. If you don't have your mind in the truth, you will be driven about with all forms of doctrines. Seducing spirit and the spirits of doctrines will ultimately lead you to sin. Romans 1, 28 to 32. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils tell you what is wrong is right. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. You know, it's not only inventors of iPhone and iPad. There are people who invent evil things. Disobedient to parents without understanding. That's why you need to know. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Everybody is doing it. You are committing fornication. This is Canada. Everybody is doing it. You are committing adultery. This is Canada. Everybody is doing it. Is this the way you got your paper? If you don't do it like that, you are in trouble. And it is people of the church that will point you to that channel. People of the church. He said that everybody is doing it does not mean it is for you. It does not mean it is right for you. Seducing spirits. They will seduce you from what is right to what is wrong and tell you it's okay. The Lord will deliver us from them. The church is quiet now. I said the Lord will deliver us from them. You know, I learned something from God's servant, Pastor Enoch Adeboye, that I will never forget in my life. He said one person came to him one day. I can't remember the full story, but this is the summary of it. Somebody came to him and said he had determined in his heart that he's going to hell. He said, I know I'm going to hell. How many have heard that story from him before? He said, I know I'm going to hell, but I am determined to take as many people as I love with me, and you are one of them. That's God's servant, Pastor Enoch Adeboye. He said, but I don't know everything I've done to you. You have not responded. Bitterness in him. He said, I have determined, I know I'm going to hell, but I will not go. I've determined not to go alone. I will take as many people as I want with me, and you are one of them. But everything he was throwing at him, the man was throwing back to him. I refuse to be offended. So many little things. This is the month of righteousness. So many. God wants to give you the 11th hour miracle, but there are little things that spoil the broth. Little things like bitterness, little things. But we are getting delivered tonight. Amen. Your amen is weak again. You know, I put it here. I said, just like not everyone in church has your destination. There are people who have determined they are going to hell. You can't know them. It's not written on their head. Now, if you now decide to follow them to hell, it is your responsibility. You get to the airport, do you sit down with, is it everybody at the airport that is going to the same place? Some are going to Haiti. Some are going to Florida. Some are going to wherever. You sit with the people who are going to your destination so that you don't miss your flight. If your flight is to Toronto and you are sitting with Miami, you have already missed your flight. You sit with the people who are going to your destination. So that the people are in church does not mean they are going where you are going.
You don't, as a matter of fact, you don't know where they are going. So, flocking with those who don't know where they are going will make you go to where they are going. And you can miss your flight. May the Lord give you understanding. In Jesus' name. How can we live a sanctified life as we begin to close? By purposing to live a sanctified life. You purpose in your heart to live a sanctified life. Daniel proposed to live a sanctified life and he succeeded. Daniel wanted that, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel made a conscious determination not to defile himself. Daniel 6:4, it says, then the president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find any occasion or fault. They could not. Why? Because he was determined to go, not to go the way that everybody was going. Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Everyone thirsting after righteousness shall be filled. Someone will be filled here in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, very quickly, how can we live a sanctified life? Number two, run when you see a trap. Tell your neighbor, run. Run when you see a trap. Traps, let me use where we are coming from as an example. Traps are set for who? Rats. Traps are set for rats. And where we are coming from, the rats are smart. How many understand where I'm going? How many understand what I'm talking about? The rats are smart. It's only the greedy rat that will enter into your trap. The rat already smells, you think I'm a fool? You are setting the trap for 1 month. You have not caught anything. It's not because the rat is not seeing it. It's because the rat is smart. Rats have become smart. So be smart. That's what we are saying. Be smart like Joseph. Be smart. Many fall for it. Those who recognize it run from it. Be smart. When there are signs, Bible says run. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Joseph saw the signs. Joseph took off. Joseph ran. Genesis 38:7-12, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither had he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And how can I then do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10, technical. And then he said, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that it hearkened not unto her. Technical, are you still there? To lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He left his garment in her hand and ran. Left his garment in her hand and ran. You are dating somebody, if that's the word. And he said, can you come and have sleepover? And you are not running. Glory to God. He says, can you come? Will you be praying over all through the night? Is it prayer you'll be praying? He said, come and have sleepover. And you know you have control issues. And then in the middle of the night, he now does this. Hey, Sherebo, Sakata, Riba, Seretwa. It is not going to work. He says, run. What you should have done was to run and not come over. Run. Anything that you see, anything that is not right, he said, run. You see anything that, I don't understand this one. That's why Joseph was just fulfilling scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Run from everything and anything that will defile you. Running requires spiritual responsibility. Nobody can run for you. Are you getting what God is saying? Can anyone run for you? How will they run for you? You run by yourself by engaging personal faith and as personal weapon for personal victory. Personal faith for personal weapon, for personal victory. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I verily say unto you, if ye, that is personally, have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye personally shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto us, unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto the one that has faith to stop everything that is unclean. Take personal responsibility for sanctification. Sanctification requires personal responsibility because it cannot be done for you by anyone. Glory to God. And for everyone and anyone that knows that they are not walking in sanctification, what is the requirement? Repentance is the requirement. Repentance is the requirement. Repentance will rescue anyone from the dungeon of sin. Exodus 18:20-24, the soul that sinneth is the one that shall die. He said, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins, if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he had committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. What does that mean? Yeah, your father, you know, God said, I will ask for the iniquity of the father upon the son. He says, I will take vengeance of the iniquity of the father upon the son. He says, but if the son takes responsibility, he says, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. It says, and all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. Personal repentance that results in personal encounter. Many are heading for destruction as a result of collective responsibility. How many understand what God is talking about? Many are heading for destruction as a result of collective responsibility. We will all stand in front of the Master on Judgment Day, giving our individual reasons for our collective responsibility. I will say it again. We will all stand in front of the Master on Judgment Day, giving our individual reasons for our collective decisions. This was the decision you made. Why did you make it? If not even your child, you can't even make case for your child. You can't make case for your children. Oh, we took the decision together, but that's why this is the reason I took it. In simply saying, your child has a responsibility for righteousness. Everyone will stand in front of him and say, the decisions I made, this is the reason I made it. Rise up on your feet. I know the church will be very quiet this month. It's okay. Glory to God. But let's give God thanks this evening. Let's give him all the praise and all the glory. Let's give him all the honor and all adoration. Magnify his name.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you. We give you praise and glory, honor and adoration. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
The prayer we are going to be praying tonight as we partake of the table is, Lord, anything and everything that is not of you, that is in me, purge it out. Let it come out of me. Let it come out of me. Purge it out of me. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, let it come out of me. Anything that will stop me from seeing you, Jesus. Anything that will stop me from partaking of your glory and your blessing, let it come out of me. Speak to him right now. Speak to him this moment. Father, we give you praise and glory. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. Well, somebody is here tonight, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Somebody wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you tonight as my Lord and my Savior. Why not tonight? You know, this is our month of sanctification. We are not looking into anyone. We are looking unto God. And someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I walked out on you, but I want to return to you. I want to return to you. I want to return to you. Put your right hand on your heart wherever you are. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. You're doing that from the bottom of your heart. Father, online and on ground, King of glory, we pray for these ones right now. Repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you tonight just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm born again. In Jesus' marvelous name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. You said that prayer on ground. Wave your hands to Jesus. Somebody will be by your side very quickly to assist you. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now, and somebody will also be by your side to assist you. Glory to the name of the Lord. Stretch out your hands towards the table, somebody, and begin to ask the King of glory right now, Lord, this is my desire from the table tonight. This is my desire from the table tonight. This is my desire from the table tonight. If it is healing you want, speak to him. If it is honor you want, speak to him. If it is cleansing you want, speak to him right now. Sanctification you want, speak to him right now. Speak to him right now. King of glory, this is my desire from the table tonight. This is my desire from the table tonight. Speak to him right now. Speak to him right now as the table is being passed on. Speak to the King of glory. This is my desire, my Father and my God. My King of glory, sanctification, like your Son Jesus. Sanctify me, O Lord. Let me be clean in and out. King of glory, let me be clean in and out. And let your name only be glorified. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Lift up your table to heaven. Father, we declare the table blessed tonight. We declare right now that as many as partake of it, Lord, everything unclean in our body, everything that is not righteous, you are going to take it out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every sickness will be taken out. Every disease will be flushed out, and your name will be glorified. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Let's partake of the table as the Overcomer's Voice minister.
I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Then come what may, thy Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. I will.
Everyone that is blessed already, lift up those hands. Give God thanks tonight. Give Him praise. Give Him glory on this first midweek service in the month of November. Give Him all the glory and all the honor. Give Him all the adoration. Magnify His name. Father, we thank You. We exalt Your name. Be Thou magnified and glorified in Jesus' most precious name we have given thanks. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have given thanks. Amen. For our children's church hallelujah night on Monday, let's put our hands together for the Lord. It was a huge, huge success. We had over 115 children, glory to God, on ground. Apart from adults, we give to God alone be all the glory. And that will get better by the day in the name of Jesus Christ. Also, please take note and remember, Covenant Hour of Prayer continues tomorrow, 6 a.m. is the time, and also on Friday at 6 a.m. And our week of spiritual emphasis continues also tomorrow, 6 p.m. is the time. And the grand finale will be on Friday also, 6 p.m. Take note also, Leadership Empowerment Summit will be up on Saturday at 9 a.m. The servants who are not looking for anything, not looking for position, will be there. Glory to God. And those who are in position and not angry with God will also be there. Glory to God. That is how God will know our heart. When they ordain you like this, or they give you the position already, leadership empowerment does not matter to you again. The Lord will give us understanding. In Jesus' precious name. I didn't hear your amen. Your amen is weak. In Jesus' name. Do you still love me? Glory to God. Also, Sunday will be our pre-Shiloh encounter service. To be a wonderful time in God's presence. And I know if it is a pre-Shiloh encounter service, that means the request you are supposed to bring to Shiloh, you will never come with it again. Because all will be answered at the pre-Shiloh encounter service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Shiloh 2022 campers, that means all those who will be sleeping in church, who will be camping in church, you are also required to register. Please take note of that if you haven't done that. It's not only those people going to Nigeria that should register. Those who will be camping on ground should also register. Therefore, make your way to the Shiloh registration platform and just make sure you register there. They will also be sending us text messages. Then you can click on the link there and register from the link. The Lord bless you as you do that in Jesus' precious name. Good news. Jesus still heals all terminal diseases. Forget about including coronavirus. You can use because nobody has coronavirus again, right? There is no more coronavirus. But the one that heals coronavirus is the one that still heals all terminal diseases. Don't look down on this book. People have read it who don't have coronavirus and have come out of their terminal diseases. How many understand where I'm going now? Pick this book up because of somebody here, we have discounted it by half. 50%. Somebody, you can buy 10, $50, and gift it to people. You can buy 20, $100, and you know you are more than 100, and gift it to people. How many understand where I'm going? You don't need to have coronavirus to buy this book. Thank God nobody will ever have it again here. Any form of terminal disease, all terminal diseases and any form of disease shall be flushed out in the name of Jesus Christ. As you are leaving, get to the bookstore, get your own $5, buy multiple, clear it off tonight and make it a gift to people. And your own area of need, the Lord will meet you there. In Jesus' precious name. Turn to your smiling neighbor. Bless that neighbor with the blessing of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm more than a conqueror. Be blessed tonight. See you again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. The Lord bless you. And for everyone that came tonight, despite the weather, the Lord will bless you. Amen. The Lord will increase you. Amen. The Lord will enlarge your coast. Amen. You have defiled the weather, that nothing can stop your blessing. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. See you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. God bless you.